Good afternoon. I'd like to turn to a very familiar passage in the book of Titus. In fact, I believe we refer to it, or someone read it earlier on. Let's turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Last three verses of chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 13, I know the thought can really start from earlier verses, but what's on my heart begins at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We'll stop there. I know I said the last three, but I think I'll wait. If time permitting, we will mention verse 15 in connection with that. I often make the remark, especially for many of us, that we heard, we said it was good, and when asked afterwards, what did you enjoy? And I know for me, often is my mind go blank. I don't remember. It was good, but I don't remember. So I trust that perhaps we can have something to jot our memory. Because I'm sure when you go home, someone will ask you, what did you enjoy at the conference? Yes, I know we had First John chapter 2. We mentioned a few things that perhaps some of us have to brush up to learn those terms and phrases that we use earlier on. But here this afternoon, there is the thought I have, a very common thought. We use these phrases often. Looking for. Well, is it something we're looking for? The phrase here is that blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? Well, obviously, you need to know what it is to look for it. You know, sometimes I'm known to lose things, and it could be right in front of my eyes, and someone else would say, I'll help you look for it. What is it? I don't know how to describe it. It's difficult for you to look for something I can't tell you. All I can say is I can't find it. So it's something that is tangible, something you can define, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I sort of like our brother Eric did with the visual. I'm not good with even making presentation with a visual. So now I want you to perhaps pretend a visual here, and let's see if we can remember it. So over here to my, what would this be? To my right, I have to think this. There's a sign here that says, Blessed Hope. There's another sign, but not right beside it. Perhaps right here, if you can picture that, it says the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we have time, I will talk about perhaps there's another sign on the left of me or to the right of you. And think of that as if it was a time chart. Now, can you picture that on over here? The sign that says, Blessed Hope. Now, I purposely said, not right beside it. There's a little bit of distance. The glorious appearing. Or sometimes we just use the phrase, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Between that sign and this sign, just a little bit of time. Perhaps at least 7 years. Am I correct in saying that? It's not, that doesn't happen and then this happens. We have the blessed hope. Can you see that on this side? I know it's hard to use imagination because I'm one of those. I remember as a child, even in grade school, a teacher would say, now pretend there's an elephant in the room. And I would say, there is no elephant in the room. I can't do those pretends. I don't see things clearly like some would. But I'm asking you to see if you see that. Blessed hope. What is that blessed hope? Do you have that? Do we? Here, this is from Scripture. Though often we use words and phrases that maybe not directly from Scripture. We use the word rapture. How many young people here have heard of the term rapture? And have you searched it out through your Bible to see where it used that word rapture? I tried. I don't know where it is, but we do know what it means. It's the snatching away. So this blessed hope is based on what Scripture tells us, and so is the appearing. We didn't make this up. Now, isn't it good for us to know so that we have this blessed hope? I believe this blessed hope is really referring to the rapture. When the Lord Jesus will come, not physically touching this earth, he will come and snatch you out as if it were. Now, we know often, if you're like me, I know a lot of scriptures, but they are bits and pieces. It's like having this 10,000 pieces of puzzles. And I will look at you and say, I got these 7 pieces together quite well. What about the rest? I don't know about the rest. But I got 6 patches like that. I think it's good, especially for young people, because you get a patch here, a patch there, and one day you go, oh, this connects. And it's good to search the Scripture. So what is this blessed hope? This the Lord's returning to get you out of the sea. Well, there's some characters to this blessed hope. First of all, it's a hope that is imminent. Think of the Apostle Paul of old. How long ago would that be? Over 2,000, a little over 2,000 years ago. That was around, 30, 40? Well, he was at the at the stoning of Stephen. That would have been about 33, 34 BC. I'll let you do the math. Paul, when he wrote his ministry, he's talking about and he's looking forward to the Lord's return. 2,000 years later, you and I, we have the same hope that he's going to come and take us out of this scene. Isn't that something interesting? What hope? You can say, well, I hope I'll go to the conference at what's coming up at Denver. You can hope and time go by, another week and a half go by, you go, oh, the conference has passed. That hope sort of dash away. That hope is no longer hope. I can't go anymore. But this hope is imminent. When is it? It's imminent. It's any time. What other hope that you have from Scripture that is such as imminent? The hope, where are you going to go? Why? He's going to snatch you. Then what? Where are you going to go? Answer is simple. He told us in John 14, what did he say? He said, if I go, he's going to go to prepare a place for us. Where is that place? In the Father's house. I don't know what more to tell you. Knowing that there are many abodes there, that where he will be, we will be also. Have you thought of that? Not just to be, we think, at least I thought for many years, boy, all the problems and difficulties will be solved. I'm waiting for his return because I just don't want to face any of these anymore. But oh, it's not that. It's a better place, the Father's house, a special destination. What else do we know about this? And we'll turn to some scriptures later. I want to plan some of these references. There is something. Now, I don't know about you. There are times partway through meeting, I don't feel good. How many of you felt that? Or maybe young people, you don't feel good because you play too hard at break time. You know, this arm really hurt. I shouldn't have thrown the ball so hard. We got physical ailment. We got this body of ours. It's not, well, it's good, but not that good. But when the Lord comes to snatch us out, there's going to be a transformation. This body, whether you like it or not, is going to transform. It's going to be turned into a likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something that, is that something we should be dwelling on? I think we should. And how is he going to do this? Well, I can't comprehend that. Well, we know the events. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, we're here to shout, and then we're here to archangel and so on. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, this is another thing special. We, which are alive and remain. But you're old, Mr. Soul. I'm still alive and remain. Just like you are. We, which are alive and remain. What happened? We'll be caught up together with those who rose from the dead. We meet in the air. What a special place of meeting. In the air. And there we can say that with that transformation that we will ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful thing. So he comes to take us home to be with himself. That hope is so special. The appearing. We sat over here. We saw that sign, that blessed hope. Over here, 7 years plus, well, I enjoy it. Someone made a comment that actually, I don't see if Emma's here. Emma, you may not know, someone quoted your great-grandfather, John L. Erisman, he said, he used to have a phrase, he said, 7 years plus a bit. That was his phrase. 7 years plus a bit. Between that and here, the Lord's appearing. Now remember, he took us out to be with himself. We're going to come back at the appearing with him. Oh, I should mention, over there, that blessed hope, that rapture. I'm not too sure if the world even would know much about it or seen it. I think it would be a quiet thing. At the appearing, I think every eye, I know scripture tells us that every eye shall see him. The blessed hope, the rapture, is to take his own out of this world. The appearing is a terrible time because he come to judge this world. So in our portion, it said, let's go back to our verse for a minute, looking for that blessed hope. Are you looking? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Oh, we're going to be classed as peculiar. You know, in today's term, if someone say, he looks a little bit peculiar, that's not exactly a positive thing, right? But we will be so different. We will be a peculiar people in God's sight of good works. Now, I want to speak a little bit about the rapture, because this is something that should purify our hearts. Sorry, I got to make sure. I want to leave room for others as well. The most detailed account that we often turn to is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just turn to that. I know many are very familiar with it, and I would just thought point out some of the sequence of events that may help us to be reminded of. So we'll just read a few verses, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, perhaps in verse 13 to verse 18. The apostle said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." First of all, he uses a big word that you shouldn't be ignorant. And I think often in today's English language, the meaning of the word ignorance has changed. In many cases, we look at that from a very negative connotation. If someone is ignorant, that's we speak pretty lowly of them. And sometimes I change the fact, I'll ask the question, have any of you ever said, "I learned something today"? Have you ever said that to yourself? "I learned something today." Whatever it is, well, that means you were ignorant about that subject prior to you learning. Ignorant means you have not learned. So if you haven't learned, you would be, as here, ignorant. Ignorant concerning, first of all, those who are asleep, those who are dead in Christ. They're in the grave. They pass away. They have gone before us. Whether young or old, doesn't matter. They are asleep with the Lord. So he wanted to clarify that. What about them? Are they going to miss out when the Lord comes? Oh, no. That's when we read from this passage. They will be brought back, won't they? So they are, let's look at that again to make sure. Is that the dead in verse 16? So we see the sequence here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Now, it doesn't say he's going to descend on earth, touching the earth. He will descend from heaven. There is that shout with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. So the first thing is the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught up together to meet him in the air. Then there is that voice of the archangel, which I find interesting. How many Christians are familiar with the voice of the archangel? I don't know of the archangel speaking to us, but rather in the Old Testament time we see that. And I wonder, and I stand corrected on this, whether that is the voice that the Old Testament sings. Those Old Testament sayings that are dead, they would be in that category. They will hear that familiar voice to arise out from the dead. So at that point, the Christians that have passed away, the Old Testament saints that are the Lord, they will be awakened, and then we together will be caught up in the air. Now, there are other passages too, because of time, I won't turn to that. We'll find that in Hebrews, it said, they would not be made perfect without us. And I believe it's referring to the fact that they won't be fully complete until this scene of resurrection for them. So we caught up. But I don't know about you. I hear, especially with some of our brethren who are a little conscious about overweight. I think many of us are. And I know I'm not quite overweight, but still heavy enough that I don't know how my body can fly through the air. Andrew, have you ever tried flying into the air? Well, you're smart enough not to try. And you see in news and history, men try to fly, to jump up the cliff and go, oh, I guess I can't fly. But here, we're going to be caught up with them in the air. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know this is a resurrection chapter, but we find there is a little section in here that speaks not particularly about the rapture, but what transpired at that time. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. It's interesting that our body will be changed. This is a body of corruption. We had a funeral not long ago, and we heard that the undertaker, there was something happened, and he said, we have to have a closed casket because the burial was delayed for so many days. And he said, it wouldn't be nice to have an open casket. It's just a nice way to say the body has gone into corruption already. You might think you have a long life. You might think you are tough. You are dependent on the very last breath provided from the Lord and by the Lord. If you can breathe, life is over. So this body will be changed. It said from immortality will be changed. I'm thinking of another passage. I can't think of offhand. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, the last two verses, verse 20. For our conversion is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. So we find that this body, as scripture would use, is a vile body. And I think that change happened so quickly. How many days do we wait? I don't know how quickly. It does say in 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, could even be as we are lifted up into the air, that is being changed. Because how else could this body of ours fly through the air as if it were? But we leave that part to the Lord. Just a couple more thoughts and I'll sit down. Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this time. It gives us a little indication. Oops. Why this is so. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which deliver us from the wrath to come. Oh, yes, we talk about problems. We talk about how the world, this wicked, that's this present evil world and so on, wickedness abound. It's interesting to read in the book of Jude, Enoch's account of the ungodly world, the ungodly deed, the ungodly speeches and so on that he prophesies for 6,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago, yet it's you can use the same phrases. But here, it tells us another reason why the Lord wanted to take us out. He's taking us out. He's delivering us from the wrath to come. I'm thinking the fifth chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Isn't that precious to know? But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. As if God has set an appointment for you. You know, we came here, we set some time aside. On the way here, some of you know that we're still working via cell phone and internet, and there were appointments being set. Of course, we keep telling them that we're not available for the Friday, the Saturday, the Lord's Day, the Monday, but we set appointments based on time. God, from this here, tells us he has an appointment to take us out of this scene. We're not to see the children of wrath. There are many scripture examples to encourage that. You can look it up. You look at Enoch. He was translated. He didn't die. He was taken out before the problem, the flood. So that's interesting to see that. We Isaac and Rebecca, right? She was brought. Well, the spirit, as the servant, she was brought home to Isaac. That was the type before she was publicly displayed to his family. You look at Joseph. Joseph's bride, I think her name is Asenath. She was received into Joseph's house before the famine. Moses, did I mention Moses? Moses' wife, Zipporah. She wasn't with him in Egypt during the 10 plagues. It's interesting you go through that, the picture that the Lord has to bring his own before the hour of temptation. We find that's another reference. So we see, why is this important? We know that the blessed hope is important. That's also signal a series of events. There will be 7 years of tribulations. I'll let you go back to Brother Eric's map there. And then the Lord's appearing. Then the judgment's being executed. And then it would become the day of the Lord. And on this side, I didn't say that, would be the end of time. And then you go into eternity, where God become all. So can you picture in a brief way this time frame? So when you go home, you can say, oh, I can see it now on this side. We're still in the day of grace. We're still waiting for the blessed hope because it purifies our heart. It let us encourage one another with these words. We are perhaps 7 years plus a bit when this world, we face terrible time, and we're not going to be there because he has taken us out of that sea. God has a timetable, and doesn't matter how hard man try to frustrate his purpose, it won't matter. It will be according to his time and his will, and we taken out to be forever with the Lord.